Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast. In this episode, I interview NBA enthusiasts Connor Loudon and Michael Wadello. We talk about the Eastern Conference NBA playoff picture, our favorite matchups, make one bold prediction for the playoffs, and discuss the MVP race. Let's get it! What is up, everybody? I am here with NBA experts Connor Loudon and Mike F.T. Zadello. What's up, fellas?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chase. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I wanted to have you guys on to talk about the NBA playoffs. Tips off here in just a couple days, and we got to get right to it. Let's start with the East. Fellas, the seeds are just about set. I want to start with this question. Got to ask, can anyone beat the Cavs? Can anyone beat my Cleveland Cavaliers, the NBA champs? Connor.
Absolutely. I don't really like what the Cavs are doing to get ready to the playoffs right now. They have the best player in the world. I will admit that, despite not being a very big LeBron James fan. But when you get to the playoffs, a huge component of what makes a team successful is team defense. And what have we seen the Cavs struggle with the past month or so is team defense. LeBron James can turn it on. We all know that. He hasn't really been giving it his full go. He's been resting, whatever. But can the team really just suddenly fix their whole defense? I'm sure they can a little bit, but I think the East is closer than it's been the past few years, and I don't see them getting it together. I think they're very vulnerable.
Mike?
I agree in a lot of ways. I think, as Connor said, LeBron can turn it on, but the problem is the rest of their roster. You look at a guy like Kevin Love, he is a defensive liability. You look at a guy like Kyrie Irving, I'm going to put him in the pick and roll all day long. You look at their bench unit, they are not as deep as they need to be to survive the East right now. I think they're still going to come out of there, but I think a team like Toronto can really give them a run for their money.
See, I hear what you guys are saying, but I think the biggest concern with the Cavs is this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I don't think anything's wrong with their defense. I think on one night you can have the team that destroys the Celtics team who was fighting for a one spot, followed by the next night losing to the bunch of bench players for the Hawks. I think that's a bigger issue, not defense, not the depth of the roster. I think it's just something happens. I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, I appreciate that you're a homer, and I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out for 2 seconds here. They're through 79 games, and they are a bottom five defense. In terms of efficiency, I don't care. You just can't turn it on that much. They can turn it on a little bit, but to come from the bottom five in terms of defensive teams in efficiency, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I hear you with that, but the Celtics were trying to win that game, and the Cavs just made them look silly.
They did, and I will admit that. I'm more than willing to admit that. But like I said, to me, Toronto is the biggest threat.
And I'm not trying to be a homer, but last year in the NBA Finals, they slowed those games down, holding the best, one of the best teams of in NBA history to 80, 90 points, which never happened. Connor, what do you think, man?
You know, Mike touched on how he thinks a team like Toronto can give them trouble, and I agree with that. I think the other top two, three, four teams in the East, meaning Boston and Washington, in addition to Toronto, could give them trouble because of, and the reason why the Caps have been so bad at defense is their depth. They've tried to put a roster together kind of haphazardly this year to fill it out, acquiring Bogut, acquiring Deron Williams, getting Korver in that trade. And really, I think it hasn't really helped at all. I think that's a reason why their defense has been so bad and why they're so vulnerable. I think that'll be exposed in the playoffs. And you cited the win against the Celtics, and I agree, they crushed them. I don't think that that's sustainable over a long series, which they'll face in the playoffs, and I really think it's going to come out.
Dude, I forgot that we signed Bogut. I completely forgot that we had him on our squad.
I mean, so you've got an experienced backup point guard in Deron Williams. You've got Korver off the bench. J.R. Smith, they're happy to have him back, but he hasn't played all season, and I'd be surprised if anyone said that he's ready for a long playoffs, and they need him. I think the huge X factor for Cleveland, and sorry if I'm jumping the gun a little bit, is Tristan Thompson. It's kind of the guy that no one talks about a lot, a lot. He gets lost in conversation. But in the playoffs last year and the year before, everyone talked about his energy. Everyone talked about his offensive rebounds, getting his team second chances. And if he can do that again, then I agree. I think they can turn it on. But I don't know that he's going to be able to, and I don't think he can make up for the slack we're seeing on the defensive end.
You know who else he gets lost in, Con?
Who's he get lost in?
Khloe Kardashian. All right, so let's move. You've said your piece against the Cavs. I'm not saying that I think they're going to stroll through the East. I think they definitely have their issues. But there's one team that worries me that's outside of the top three more than those three teams. We'll touch on those here in a bit. So let's jump ahead to the 2-3-4 matchups. Everyone wants the Celts-Wiz matchup. Everyone is hoping that comes to fruition. Personally, I think Wizards coach Scott Brooks, right?
Yep.
Yes. I think he's coach of the year. I really do. So let's say that we do get this Celtics-Wizards matchup. FTs, what is going to happen in that 7-game series?
I think it's going to be exciting. I think they are one of the few rivalries right now in the NBA, which is exciting because, again, so many players right now are friendly. They love each other. They all are buddies in the offseason. But these two teams throughout this season, throughout the regular season, have hated each other. Again, Washington had the funeral game. They wore all black. I just want to see that play out over a 7-game series. I want to see what that looks like. I want it to go to 7. I don't even care who wins, honestly. But I want to see them bring it every single night to give their all and to really just have that playoff series that we have not had in the East lately. Let's be honest. You know, the last 2 years, the East has not been competitive. It's been really shallow. And so I'm excited for some really good matchups there.
So FTs is too scared to pick a winner of 7. Con, who's winning 7 for you?
Well, you know, I agree with him. I think it would go 7 games. I think it would be a grit and grind series, something that we haven't seen in the East in a few years. And I'm really excited for it. I hope that it happens.
I need a winner in 7. I need a winner of the series for both of you.
I say the Celtics win in 7, and the difference there is the perimeter defense. John Wall and Bradley Beal can control some games with their offense and athleticism, but I think the combination of Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Jaylen Brown, and what the Celtics can do guarding multiple positions, it'll get the best of the Wizards, and they'll pull that series out.
I'm going to say that, FTs, you agree with that statement?
I do not, actually. I'm going to go Wiz in 7, mainly because Isaiah Thomas, you can't hide him anywhere. More than likely, he's going to be guarding Bradley Beal, and Avery Bradley is going to be on John Wall. But Thomas cannot handle Beal in the playoffs. He cannot stick with him. He's not a player that – again, his flaws come out in the playoffs, and his flaws are on the defensive end.
I think it's a great point, and I'll be really interested. The best battle in that series goes back to the comment you made about Scott Brooks, Chase. I think the best battle is going to be Brad Stevens versus Scott Brooks. They've both been in the playoffs. Maybe Scott Brooks has a little more experience, but I would never underestimate what Brad Stevens can do. I think he's a fantastic coach, and I think he'll really make a name for himself even more so this playoffs.
I love the Wizards pick, but as much as you can't hide Isaiah Thomas, I don't think you can hide the entire Wizards team who aren't really known for their defense. And I would pick Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, you know, over any defender that the Wizards have. So I'm taking the Celts. I'm taking the Celts in that series. The Celts and actually the Celts in 5. I think they're just going to spank the Wiz. I love the Wiz. But I think
just
if we
get that series,
as much as I think Scotty Brooks is the coach of the year, I don't think he holds a candle to Brad Stevens. And I think the Celts, they're going to be pretty motivated to get to the Cavs.
Yeah, if we kind of touched on Tristan Thompson being that X factor for Cleveland, and I think the person that can carry Boston as far as they could go is going to be Al Horford. I think he's the X factor for Boston. A few matchups that they get into, if he can win his matchup, then it's going to give them a much better chance. I mean, their strength, I think, is their perimeter defense, like I said, but Al Horford does so many things for that team. Sometimes he doesn't stuff the stat sheet, but he's always there doing all the important things. If he can win his matchup, that team's going to be hard to beat.
FTs. I would love if the Wizards won, though. I think that would be so much fun. Gosh, I would love that. But I don't see it happening, man.
My one final point, and I'm just going to say this again: this Celtics team has not won a playoff series yet. Everyone wants to anoint them. They have not won a playoff series yet.
So. I agree. Everyone's always talked like really highly of them, but they haven't really proven anything yet. I mean, they've gotten better each year. They're intriguing, but playoffs are playoffs. You got to win in the playoffs to have earned anything.
That's true. And last year, the Wiz got some good playoff reps as well. I think a couple of these guys were on the squad when Paul Pierce was on there, and you can't – I mean, that's invaluable right there.
Can we pause for a second and do a Kelly Olynyk attractiveness rating?
Yes. On a scale of Boban to Chris Hemsworth.
This is being cut out for sure.
Yeah, he's
he's a solid Chris Pine.
He's a solid Chris Pine. Olynyk ruined the Cavs finals run 2 years ago, so he does not have a high rank on my list.
Ooh.
Because that was the only thing wrong with the Cavs team a couple years ago, right? That was it.
That was it. You are correct.
So rounding out the top four in the East, we got Cavs. The Celtics will get the two, right?
Yeah, of now, they are pretty much locked into that. Then Toronto, then Washington. Yeah.
Yep, that's how it is right now.
So the bottom four, FTs, take us through the bottom four here. As of Saturday night, what does that bottom four look like in the East?
So right now we got the Hawks in the 5 seed. They've clinched a spot, but that's not a guaranteed spot. The Bucks have clinched a playoff spot in the 6 seed, but again, they're tied with the Hawks. Right now we got the Pacers sitting at 40-40. The Bulls 39-41, and the Heat 39-41. Chicago had a really terrible loss tonight to Brooklyn, so that's not good for them. That doesn't bode well for them. The fact that they can't get up for a team with maybe two NBA players on the team.
The Nets have been playing good ball, though.
The Nets are playing good ball, but again, if you're trying to make the playoffs, you got to be able to beat that squad.
Don't lose to the Nets if you're pushing for the playoffs. That's right.
Yeah, that's my one recommendation.
Yeah, that is a good point. So let's say Hawks, Bucks, Pacers, and Heat squeak in. Heat or Bulls, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's one of those two.
Which of these five teams has the best chance of an upset, either in round one or if they even make it to round two? Do you see any of that happening with these five teams? Connor.
So I think the first thing I want to point out about these teams that you mentioned, and even extending into Washington at the 4 seed right now, in the last 10 games, no team is better than 6-4. All these teams have somewhat been floundering to the finish. So my true answer is none of these teams really stand a chance at all in the playoffs. But if I had to pick one, I'd go with Milwaukee. You have at any given night, the best athlete on the floor, a rising superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of my favorite players. I can't wait to see what he does in the playoffs because this really has been his breakout season, and I expect him to even take it to a higher level in the playoffs. I can't wait to see that. If he could develop a consistent jump shot, he would be absolutely unstoppable. But I think with his athleticism alone, he can win them games and even win them a series.
FTs?
I hate to piggyback, but I agree with Connor. I think the Bucks are the only team in the bottom there that really have a shot. And, again, it all comes down to Giannis, the Greek freak doing his thing. But also Chris Middleton, he has been playing incredibly well since he came back from injury. That team has weirdly been better without Jabari Parker. And I attribute that all to Chris Middleton. But, again, it's all about the Greek freak, who I will say is going to be the most improved player this year. That's my pick for most improved. I think he's taken a huge leap this year, and I can't wait to see where he goes in the next 5 years.
No Pacer love, no Paul George respect, no respect for PG-13?
I don't have any Pacer love. I think the Pacers, to an extreme extent, have been riding Paul George. I think a lot of players have been big disappointments this year. I expected Miles Turner to break out, and I think the second half of the season he's been non-existent at times, which has been unexpected and really disappointing. I think Monta Ellis has just fallen off the face of the earth this year. Thaddeus Young has this like interesting set of skills. We can kind of stretch. He can play tough underneath, but he doesn't really add anything or scare a team in the playoffs. Teague, I think Teague just doesn't really bring the set of skills and leadership that you want in your like primary ball handler to win a tough series.
So you would be surprised if the Pacers beat the Wiz, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any way that'll happen.
What?
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. I could totally see PG-13 taking that series over and reminding people that, oh, I'm the third best forward in the game.
I would love to see it. I really see it going that PG-13 only gets frustrated again because the Pacers have been to the peak. They thought they were going to be competitive for years, and they've fallen into this just quicksand of mediocrity. And I think it's been really frustrating. I love PG-13. He's only been fantastic. But I don't think he has enough support.
Before he broke his leg – he was like the guy at like Olympic practice, and like people were like in love with PG-13. And how long does it take for those injuries, like confidence wise, for you to be 100%, like around two and a half years? Like, I don't know. I think
he's there now. I think confidence wise, he's back. Like he's back to his normal self, and he's even gotten a little bit better at a few things. I just think they've tried to revamp the roster and it hasn't come together like they planned.
All right. Yeah. FT, is it any, are you not scared of PG-13?
Here's my problem with PG-13. I love him as a player. I think he's a great two-way player. But I've watched a lot of League Pass this year, and 50% of the time he is not trying out there. He is not into the game. The last 2 weeks he's been into it, because he's trying to make the All-NBA team, because he gets a humongous raise if he makes the All-NBA team. And so, yeah, there's a whole lot of
– So is he not a free agent? I mean
– He is an unrestricted free agent, but the hometown team, if he makes the All-NBA team, it'll be four times within his first seven seasons, I think is the rule, and they can offer him a larger max. And so he has really turned it up these last 2 weeks. But again, I'm very concerned that it's only for the money, has nothing to do with the team. I don't think he's happy there. I think he's just looking for a paycheck, unfortunately, because I love the guy. I think he's a great player.
So this is my bold prediction for the Eastern Conference playoffs, is that the Pacers will win their first round matchup. I think PG-13, Paul George is going to just go off, and I really do think that he's going to like send a huge reminder to the league that, oh, I'm still good at basketball.
If you're willing to, I would love to make another Knicks Celtics bet with you.
You podcast bet. Another bet. Well, what's your bold prediction, Mike?
Bold prediction for the East. Again, it's really tough. I really think LeBron's going to come out of there, so it's tough to come out with anything crazy. My player to watch, though, honestly, I think DeRozan – I would say DeRozan averages 30 per game in the playoffs. No matter how far they get, he's going to average 30 per game. And that's going to be more than Lowry.
Yeah. I can't say that's a bad prediction. I don't know if that's bold, but I think that's a prediction. Khan, do you have a bold prediction?
I'll give you a prediction. Tell me if it's bold enough. My first prediction is that Atlanta right now at the 5 seed, whoever they face in the first round, assuming they stay in the 5, is going to get swept.
I think that's a pretty fair prediction.
Yeah, okay. That's a little less bold than
– If we're going to go bold, then I think coming off of injury, Kyle Lowry – establishes or is a top three best player in the East this playoffs.
Ooh. But you guys are high on the rap. Do you guys like the Raptors?
I don't think that they're gonna like threaten. I like Lowry. I like his toughness. I think he's a really good, well-rounded player, and he's come back from that injury much better than expected. It seems he's back to his normal self already.
All right, so FTs, who comes out of the East, man?
I got to go with the Cavs. It really hurts me to say that as I sigh very heavily. Right. But LeBron is LeBron, and he's 7 straight finals. I just can't deny that. It's going to happen.
I am so glad he is on the Cavs. I'm so glad he's back on my team. Con, who's out of the East, man?
Cleveland.
Yes, sir. Trilogy possible in the making. I love it. All right. The MVP race, we have like a couple minutes left here, is one of the most tight races we've seen in a while between Russ and Harden, LeBron's in there, and Kawhi. I have a feeling that Harden is going to win. I don't know if I agree with that. I'm a huge James Harden fan. I think what he's done this year has been great. But I love what Russ has done too. I just think Harden, in the end, his team's better, is going to get it. Connor, do you agree?
I don't. I think that's very possible. I think Russ is going to get it. I think everyone's going to do the right thing here and honor this guy who's averaged a triple-double, which is absolutely unfathomable. Yeah. You know, I don't think anyone would be particularly wrong for giving it to Harden. He's been fantastic too. But to do what Russ does night in, night out, and to see the energy with which he plays, I would love to see that rewarded. He's fantastic. And I think he deserves it more than anybody.
Yeah, I would not be shocked or upset if Russ got it. FTs, what do you think, man?
Until about a week and a half ago, I would have said Harden. I really liked what he was doing. But Harden's kind of slumped a little bit, and Russ has really taken over some games. He's won some games.
It's true.
That really no one else could have. And my ultimate test is always, if you're stuck between two guys, if you flip them. If you put James Harden – on the Thunder, and you said, can you win? Right now they've won 45 games. Do you think James Harden could have won 45 games with that roster? I'm unsure. Russ is a machine, and he does what he does night in, night out, despite Steven Adams is great, but he's not a guy that you can expect 20 points out of. Mm-hmm. And the rest of that, Oladipo.
I mean, he's no Omar Caspi, that's for sure.
You're not wrong about that.
That person doesn't exist.
What's his name? Omri. What is it?
Yeah. Omri.
Omri. Yeah. That guy.
Oladipo, again, every once in a while you can get 15 out of him. But, you know, you look top to bottom, it's a pretty ugly roster. Whereas in Houston, if you plug in Russ, he can drive and kick all day long. All those shooters, you know, those are shooters that OKC does not have. And so I really think if you flip the two players, I think Russ is doing a more impressive job. And it pains me to say that, because I really think he's been hunting out triple-doubles, which I don't exactly have a lot of respect for. But, you know, At the end of the day, I think he's earned it.
I think I saw a stat somewhere that every MVP has come from at least a 50-win team, I think. I read that somewhere.
Wow.
So I just think at the end of the day, they're going to look at, like, how good their teams are and – if they have a chance to win. And I think their seasons have been similar enough that Harden's going to get it. If Russ gets it, I'm not going to be upset. I think Russ deserves it just as much. But I think at the end, it's going to go to Harden. Fellas, thank you for talking Eastern Conference playoffs. Stick with us. We're going to come right back here and talk about the West.